Jason and Zoe in the milk bar. Yeah, join Jason and Zoe in the milk bar. Yeah, you know it's the place to be.
Welcome along. This is episode 7. That you are in the milk bar. Jason and Zoe with you. Hello, Zoe.
Hello.
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 That's your new greeting of the week, is it? Tell us what your week's been like.
Oh, it's been so busy this week. It's unreal.
Why? What's happened?
I don't know. Just everything. Because I'm going on holiday next week, so I'm trying to get all that ready as well. Mm. And then I've been working. And tomorrow, I don't know how I'm going to do tomorrow.
What was planned?
Well, my son's got his theory test at 7:45 in the morning.
This will be for the car, then 7:45, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got to take him up there. Then I've got to drop into the Wolf for half an hour to have a look at the studios for Saturday.
Going into the radio station because you're doing stuff over there, yes.
Then I've got to go back and pick him up for after his theory test, come back home again, be there for 9:30.
We're getting bored now, I think.
No, I've got two workmen coming and I've got to drop my other son off at his football club all before 11 o'clock and then I've got to be at work for 11.
You just have a very busy girl.
I am.
It's all good.
Yes. I've just got a pack.
I've just got a busy day at work and then a busy day at work and that's it.
I know. You just go home and your mum's got your tea on the table and everything.
No. I have to fend for myself on the tea front on Fridays.
I know. I've heard the microwave in the background sometimes on the phone.
This is it. I have to eat. So I've got to do something, haven't I? Right, coming up on the podcast this week here in the Milk Bar, we have Mick Burrows. He is going to be singing for us in a bit. Say hello, Mick.
Hi, hello. Jason.
Hello. Are you cool? You good?
I'm fine, thanks.
A man with two guitars, though.
A man with 6 guitars, actually.
Well, only two with him. That would be a bit crowded in here if it wasn't for that. Also, in a moment or two's time, we'll be talking about redbusart.com. And Zoe, have you got a mystery guest for me?
I have, yes.
Ooh.
Yes, I did put the feelers out and a few have declined, but I've got one.
People are now turning you down, which is... They know what we're up to, that's the thing.
This one's a nice chap.
Though. Is it? A nice chap. Mm. Okay, well, I guess their voice.
Probably not, to be fair.
That's good. I never guess any of them.
No.
Unless they give their name away when we get going, but there we are. Right, I mentioned redbusart.com. To tell us more about it, part of the team, Malcolm and Barbara Newman, look after the site and the fleet of buses. Join us on there on the phone. Malcolm, hello, sir.
Hi.
So, explain a bit about Red Bus Art and how this one came about.
It came about because we were setting up an art gallery, and my idea was that we should be slightly different and use a 1965 London Routemaster. Barbara said, well, as it's got wheels, instead of staying static, let's go round with the art. So it's two pensioners running around Scotland on a London double-decker bus.
Do you travel after 9:30? You're not allowed to go until it's 9:30.
Well, we've got our bus passes, so we're all right.
Okay. That makes it okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where do you pick up a London Routemaster bus? Was it on the cheap? Did you have to refurb the thing? Or?
Well, no, we've got two buses. We've got one, a standard 72-seater that literally, when Ken Livingston kicked it out in 2005, that is a standard one with 72 seats as it came off the street. The other came up for sale from British Airports Authority, who had... a bus which they took off the streets in 2002 and threw a fair amount of money at it by converting it with tables and chairs, and it's a full display unit, and they went round Europe and they went round the UK advertising Terminal 5. So this has got what Terminal 5 is going to be, and I think when that they didn't need it anymore, we bought it from them.
So that one was nicely ready-made and hopefully not too much work to get it into tip-top condition to show your artwork off.
Correct, because it was made as a mobile gallery, so to show people off what was going to happen in Terminal 5. So this really lent itself to us, hanging pictures in there, and there's tables and chairs upstairs. There's an office upstairs, there's a kitchen upstairs. So, it's...
It's got everything.
Yep.
It's basically a home on the road with some nice pictures downstairs.
That's right.
And you've recently been down to the Midlands, which is the reason I know about you, because you were off at the NEC.
Yeah.
Did you actually, were you working that one yourself, or did you send some of your representatives in?
Oh, no. Barbara and I do all the shows ourselves, some with the bus, some without the bus.
Yeah. They wouldn't let you into the NEC with us, I suppose, would they?
Not quite. But we've been at the Newcastle Art Fair, and we've been parked outside there, been at the Royal Show in Edinburgh, and the shows that can have a mobile gallery outside, then the bus comes along with us.
Sounds like a really nice way of doing it. And what sort of work have you got on there then? Because it's not just a few pictures, is it?
No, really. It's basically young art, and like with most things, when kids go to an art gallery, however good they are, and show their art, they say, you know, what exhibitions have you had? And usually the kids will say, well, we haven't had any. And they'll just say, we'll come back when you have.
Mm-hmm.
We'll grab these kids and put their stuff on the bus, and half of them can't even afford to eat, so we buy the stuff from them.
Yeah.
And then sell it on the bus.
Sounds like a good way of doing it. How much is a piece of artwork going for these days? I know it's credit crunch time, but these things do take a lot of work, and they will severely brighten up your home, office, workplace, whatever. So are they still commanding the right sort of fees?
Well, when you've got an unknown artist, I mean, we sell things from £20-25 a time, up to, of course, if it's a renowned artist, a three-figure sum, but invariably, a beautiful picture can be had for, you know, 150-200 quid. It's not it's not a lot of money today.
No, it's not, but you've still got to cover the diesel cost for the bus as well. That's the other tricky bit.
Absolutely.
Do you deliver as well to some of your clients actually in the bus?
Well, no. The majority of them will literally buy it and take it home with them.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does it work with finding places to stop off? Because there are certain routes which, if you put your number on the front, you might be able to get some passing trade. But you're getting invited along to events and things. Are people now talking about the bus and going, yes, we want you to come to our event?
Yes, because when we first started, we used to apply, can we come? And now we get phone calls saying, will you come?
Which is a much, much better way of doing it, because they don't charge you a pitch fee then either, do they? Which normally works out
well. This is it. So, we display the art and people come on the bus. A lot of people come to see the bus as well. It's 1965 Route Masters are fairly nostalgic.
I suppose people remember Summer Holiday and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I do think that's a very good way of getting children interested in art, cause as well as... they'll be more excited about going on the bus than perhaps looking at the pictures, and then while they're on there, they're going to get enthralled in the pictures that you've got on there as well.
Well, there's a lot of interest as far as kids coming on, yes, because it's a bus, and most of them never seen, buses like a 1965 Route Master, but yes, they do get interested once they come on. And we're also involved with the art schools, like the one in Aberdeen, where we'll be doing taking the final year's output around Scotland to show, what these kids can really do.
Do you do like workshops as well, actually, on the bus? Because I think that would work.
No, we haven't done that yet, but we go to shows where there are workshops. So, a lot of the art fairs have, workshops at that. At that venue.
Right. I can see on the website as well that you've got some Beatles memorabilia. Is that all on there as well, is it?
Yes. Being, a 60s bus, yes, we're all, and being 60s products ourselves, that we enjoy the 60s, and therefore there is a lot of 60s memorabilia on there, yeah.
And where do these pictures come from then?
Different places. Different people, different artists. The memorabilia comes from wherever we found it. Beatles ceramics to Beatles pictures to... That's it. It's very much... we do a lot of 60s stuff.
That's and so it fits the theme nicely, and it's a great way of moving it about as well. So where have you got coming up over the month of August?
Well, on Saturday we are at the Aboyne Highland Games.
Mm-hmm, that'll be the first.
Then Sunday and Monday we'll be doing the show at Turriff, and then Tuesday and Wednesday we go up to the Black Isle, which is all a fair distance from the Midlands, but that's where we are.
Well, I occasionally get as far as Aberdeen. I was there probably a couple of months back, so next time I'm in the area, I might see if I can do a bit of ring and ride.
Please!
And find out where the bus is.
Please, please. And then I think towards the end of the month, we're at the Blair Athol Horse Show.
So, travelling around and about. Full details of where you can be found coming up on redbusart.com as well?
Yeah, it's on the website.
So at redbusart.com, and you can check out where they're going and see some of the artworks and the kind of thing that is available on the bus, and check out its timetable as well.
And moreover than anything else, that if there are any kids out there that, you know, can't get their work shown, gladly, you know, put your work on the, you know, send us an example, and gladly we'll put it on for them and give it a showing.
I've got
and let's see
artwork.
What the public think about it, rather than just the gallery saying no.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if we just sold the things that we liked, you know, that's unfair. But
yeah, there are a lot of different tastes out there. Having been to some galleries, there's some people who are sticking stuff in galleries who really don't know what appeals to me.
Well, you know, people are very much... art, you know, to me, even three ducks going across a wall is art. So, you know, it's art is what... You know what you want to put up there.
Yeah, and it is the beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and even more so in the world of ceramics and paintings and anywhere else, isn't it?
Yeah.
Malcolm, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And enjoy your ride around.
Thank you very much.
The only thing is, you probably haven't actually got a passenger bus license, have you? So you can only drive it around when there's only you and the missus on board.
Well, one of the buses is you have to have a full. Public service vehicle license, because that's the 72 seats.
Uh-huh.
The other one, no.
So
with the public service vehicle license, there is a proper driver rather than an amateur.
In uniform, taking cash through the counters. Do you get to be conductor on those ones then?
We have got a machine, and we can,
Start charging.
That's a way of interesting way of raising fees. You didn't buy something, you've got to pay to get off. Well, you never know where you could end up next at the next stop.
We also do a lot of charity work. So, you know, if there is, again, things that, you know, mostly with children, that we support the Carers Association up here, the Young Carers Association.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if there's any charities out there that you know, sometimes want, you know, London double decker bus for, you know, a charity, do gladly. If we can fit it in, we'll gladly do it.
It sounds like a great way of doing it. Malcolm Newman, pass my regards to Barbara as well.
I certainly will.
And once again, the website redbusart.com if you want to find out more. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye.
That looks really good, doesn't it?
It is rather exciting,
isn't
it?
I like their website. I think that's fantastic.
And the little camera showing you some of the artwork in the top right-hand corner as well.
I might send him some of my stuff from when I was at school.
You've done drawing?
Yeah, I did art. I'm an artist. I'd love to have my own studio.
It's bad enough when you left the loose in a radio studio, but there we go. We have music in the milk bar now. And we've left him sat at the back. Sometimes our guests get dragged into the interviews as well. Mick, you've gone off quite lightly, to tell you today, but there we go.
Okay.
So we'll get a tune from you, then we'll find out a bit more about you and your music and where it's all come from.
Okay.
What are you going to sing for us first?
This is called London Leaves, and it'll be the title track of my second CD.
Take it away. Thank you.
main tree stood outside our rented place. Summer it would shade me, now it just seems out of place. The autumn wind blows London leaves round, just like my love I could not hold. And as I walk the streets on my way home, London leaves me cold. Or did you leave me with all these tears time cannot wash away? It's plain to see, just like that old plane tree, you were resigned always to stay. Autumn wind blows London leaves around, just like my love I could not hold. And as I walk the streets on my way home, London leaves me cold.
Thank you. Performing live in the Milk Bar. And I wasn't sure where you could... The ping, ping, ping noise, and I wasn't sure it was going to be a train thing leaving for London rather than leaves on a tree.
Yeah, it's... Well, it is. There's a, there should have been a bit at the end. It's a bit cramped where I'm sitting.
It's not exactly luxurious in here. Is so you can't. You should have seen a four-piece band in there last week. We had a right game, I tell you. So it not does easy to get to the old fretboard as it should be, but very, very nice tune. So what's the thinking behind that one then?
Well, I used to teach art and design. I was a head of art in London for 33 years until I took early retirement. And we lived just on the edges of Greenwich and Blackheath, and So we're often up in London and around the galleries there.
Yeah.
And if you heard in the song, the last verse, it mentions Serpentine. Well, mm-hmm. the Serpentine is a gallery in London.
Mm-hmm.
And we often used to go there. And it's about the kind of dissolving of a relationship of mine.
Okay.
Very personal.
A bit painful at times,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, as they always are. But they mm-hmm. give you great material to write about. And I think everyone has gone through the pain of a separation and so forth in some way or other.
I know someone who's had so many divorces, she could probably write 7 or 8 yeah. albums from it.
Do you write about the nice things as well, though? Because I know. Do you write about the nice things as well?
Wasn't that nice then, that song?
No, it wasn't very nice. It was a nice song, yeah, yeah, but it's just, for you, it's probably got sad memories, but.
No, it's not particularly sad.
No.
It's.
Poignant.
Poignant, and I remember them with great fondness, you know, so it's a way of almost reliving things, you know. You know, in your head, you know,
and
then expressing it through music and words. I mean, that's what I like to do. Nearly all my songs are about things that have happened to me or people I know, and are based in truth, you know, with embellishment. Like,
it doesn't
any
happen
kind
a lot nowadays, really, does it, in music? They just write about anything. But
anything that will make money normally,
yeah.
isn't it?
Well, it's a shame, but I suppose that is the truth.
It is the way. It's a reason for doing the music as well, and I certainly think you're marketable listening to you there. And
thank you very much.
And you reminded me when we met up tonight that we have spoken once before. And
we have, yeah.
Quite some time ago. That was just before your first CD was put together.
Yeah, I was just finishing that at the time, and that was an album called All at Sea. Which I've sold a couple of hundred copies around the place. I mean, somebody in Greece has a copy on Cephalonia, oh, yeah. whose wife runs a local radio station, so it's been played
Ooh.
In Greece.
That's good.
Perhaps you ought to go over there, Jason.
You know, we're getting downloads from all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting some. Poland was my favourite obscure download. And there was one in Japan the other week. So
oh,
you
I bet
know.
That's my lady.
Oh, right.
From Japan.
You
yes,
have a fan.
Yeah.
Your fan club. Your Japanese fan club.
I posted that on a website a few weeks ago. I bet it was her.
There you go. So there's people around the world listening to this, fingers crossed.
Hopefully.
So, you know, the music will spread further.
Yeah,
but
good,
where are you playing at the moment? I know you've got a gig coming up at the Robin too.
Yeah, it's September the 30th. That's a Wednesday. I'm supporting Grewcutt and Haynes at the Robin 2.
This
will be the second time I've played at the Robin 2, actually. But I'm really, really looking forward to it. It should be a really good gig.
Well, that venue in Bilston is really, really a great place to be, though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's quite prestigious, you know, world-renowned, really. It's had lots of fantastic acts there. And I just feel really pleased and honoured to be playing there. You know, I'm really looking forward to it.
That should be good. And much else in the pipeline at the moment?
Yeah, I play 3 local clubs, 2 in Coesley, run by Terry Pitt, who you've met. I
know
think.
Terry, yes.
Terry, yeah, good old Terry. And that's the Painter's Arms in Coesley and the Coesley Working Men's Club. So there's 2 clubs there. And on Friday nights, tomorrow night, I'll be at the Crystal Folk Club, which is at the Liberal Club in Blackheath.
So that's the day this podcast was released. If you picked it up on Friday, the 31st of July, so you're
Get
playing Rowdy Regis. What's the venue again?
It's the Liberal Club in, I forget the name of the street, but it's in Blackheath, and it's called the Crystal Folk Club. They've got a great website. You can check them out.
Google
Crystal Folk Club.
Google them.
Google
yeah.
it. Yeah. yeah, you'll get it.
Easy
is
way
that, is
of
that
doing
every
things.
Week, is it? So
yeah,
say
every
somebody
Friday,
hears you
yeah,
and
yeah.
they miss
so,
tomorrow. Then
yeah,
go.
Yeah. So I perform every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday at those 3 clubs.
I bet it's nice having like regular gigs like that, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is nice income. Because
it means you have to keep writing material, though.
Well, no, that's a good thing, isn't it? Because it keeps you on your toes, learning new songs and. You can't keep repeating it, you know, ad infinitum. People would just get sick of it, wouldn't they? But it's great. I love all that. And we get some great folks at the club and some great players. Really, there's a lot of talent out there, you know. And, you know, it's good to plug those clubs because they regularly get 30, 40 people every week and about 18 players, you know. So it really is varied. Instruments, voices, everything, you know, really good variation of stuff.
Worth popping down to have a listen.
Absolutely. And everyone's welcome. It really is a welcoming thing.
Can they get your CD if they pop along as well?
They can buy one for Fiverr.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with that. Fiverr for that sounds good to me.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You got six guitars, we know that much.
Yeah.
What else should we know about you? Because during your 33 years in London, were you playing the guitar then, or is it something you've come to...
I played in a couple of bands. One was called the Alice Band, and the other was called the Hat Band. And they all have to do with, you know, things you put on your head.
Mm-hmm.
And played, you know, for years and years with... that band with a friend of mine down there, John Stevens, and we used to go out gigging, but it was mainly covers band, you know, kind of
bread and butter stuff. Though that sort of thing.
Yeah We used to, you know, go out and earn some money, and it was nice, but it was always difficult because teaching you didn't really get much spare time, you know.
And if you're not actually doing it, you're thinking about it, aren't you?
Exactly. And thinking about what you've got to do, and when, being the head of department as I was, looking after six people, you know, and 1,300 girls.
Ooh.
Hard task.
I can imagine. I know.
Very pleasant.
Just one in the milk bar is a bit of an under control, but there we go. Mick, thank you. We will hear more from you in a bit.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
And we will plug your website. Do you want to plug your website now? Come on, give us a plug on your website now where people can hear you and more of your work online.
Well, you can actually see some of my artwork and hear my music on soundclick.com/Mick Burrows.
Okay, soundclick.com/Mick Burrows. We will repeat that a bit later on.
Great.
Even though this is obviously on your iPod, you can rewind, but we will make sure for those of you like Zoe who can't operate technology properly.
I can.
Yeah, right.
I dare you.
You're the girl who sat there going, look, my screen's broken, my BlackBerry.
No, it does seem to be a lot. Perhaps it's Zoe, because I've cleaned it.
As we have matching BlackBerries.
I haven't seen that part of the screen before. It's
exactly
yours
the same. Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She's not very good with technology, Mick.
It's because I've cleaned it.
Neither am I.
You're allowed, you do art, so that's the way it works.
Yeah.
And she's even breaking her headphones. Right, Zoe.
Is it my guest?
It's your guest time now. No doubt we'll probably be doing your website of the week when we can't get hold of your guest. We're always late because you keep talking. Or turn up late for at the milk bar itself.
I didn't today.
No, you did well today. Come on, dial away. What's get your number sorted. This is 9 for an outside line, still every week. It takes so long to dial a blooming telephone number, and it's a landline today. Which I'm quite excited by. This should be good. You'd finished dialing your number, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, here goes.
He's been told not to mention his name.
Okay, will they have the answer?
It's me again.
Stop whistling. You're getting too excited now.
He's a lovely chap, though.
Okay.
Hello?
Oh, hello, it's Zoe from the Milk Bar.
Hello,
and my co-host, Jason.
Hello.
I do believe you're expecting us.
Zoe.
And I have to guess who you are.
Yes, he has been pre-warned.
Has he? Okay, I'll be my best behaviour.
Right, okay. So I'm already getting a hint that you may be from somewhere fairly north-ish of a said border.
Jason. Yes.
There we go.
Okay.
That's good. Right, we got that far. You're
Round
Scottish.
One to you.
Right, I'm doing well so far. Zoe does like a television, so do you work in television?
No.
Oh, is it music then?
It is music.
Okay.
He did say he wasn't going to give anything away.
This isn't fair, because the only ones I've guessed on these, and this is our seventh week of doing this, have been ones where they've given the game away and told me their name when they answered the phone. Although I would have got...
That was two who have done that.
I'd have got Frank Sidebottom, though. Frank Sidebottom is an easy one. Right, okay. What sort of music are you into?
What kind of music I'm into, or what kind of music
What kind of music do you play to start?
Yeah, kind of rock, pop.
Rock, pop, okay. Mm-hmm. What era were your biggest hits? Unless just because they're still performing now? Or?
I'm still performing now, but I would say the 80s.
Okay, Scottish people from the 80s. There's so many good ones.
There were loads of us at that particular time, that's correct.
It's one of those, it's like Manchester had a go, Birmingham had a go, and then,
right.
then Scotland really did it. Which bit of Scotland are you from?
I'm from Glasgow.
That narrows it down to about three, doesn't it?
It does, but I'm rubbish at this. In the 80s, I was listening to Tiffany.
Oh, I used to love the 80s.
And Debbie Gibson, actually, as well. But anyway,
yeah, good records.
Well, sort of. The covers were better than the actual records themselves, as I recall.
Blasphemy.
No, I'm going to be rubbish at this. Give us a hint. Give us a tune. One of your songs. Go on, name one of your songs. This is a. I'm going to be embarrassed again.
Oh, let me think.
You can't remember what you've done.
No, I'm just trying to think. It's great, but the name of the band might help. Now, there's something you can't live without.
Something you can't live without.
Think of a chemistry
don't
equation.
Don't say Debbie Gibson.
No, you're definitely not Debbie Gibson. A chemistry equation.
Yes, if you think of your chemistry chart.
Well, carbon's a bit essential to life.
Jeez, that's a bit lame. Come on.
Not a very good name for a band, though.
It wouldn't be great, would it? This is probably a rock band out there called Carbon, rethinking their entire strategy now. I'm not going to get it, am I? Drink water. H2O.
Yay! Well done.
Okay. No, I'm not going to be able to do names. I'm too old now. My mind's
stop
gone. Come
well
on.
Done.
Go on then. You can give it away.
Give it away.
Yes. My name's Ian Donaldson. I was a singer in H2O.
Ian, how are you?
You remember a song called I Dream to Sleep?
Yes.
That was us.
There you go.
And he's a lovely chap. I spoke to him a few years ago, didn't I?
That's correct, I remember.
Yes. So once he's got your phone number, she stalks you for ages, doesn't she?
I've got my little black book.
I love being stalked.
Always appreciative. So what is going on in your world of music? Obviously still playing, as we've already ascertained.
Yeah,
but...
well, over the last 4 years, I've been playing with Mick McNeil and Derek Forbes from Simple Minds.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Watson from Big Country was in the band for a while, and with a band called Four Good Men. And we basically played all our hits together. We just played one show. We played Simple Minds, Big Country, and H2O. We did toured America and Canada, and we were guests for Pretenders in the States, and made an album, and did all sorts of things. Had a ball for 4 years, but just recently that's come to an end. It's just kind of time to do something else. We had a lot of fun, but what's happened recently is that the H2O album, which was out in RCA originally, is now suddenly available for the first time in CD on Cherry Pop, which is part of Cherry Red Records.
Oh yeah,
and it just came out about a couple of months ago. So that's doing well abroad, and it's kind of tickling over here. And because of that, I played with two of the boys from H2O for the first time, and can't remember how long. Played a couple of weeks ago. We did a kind of low key gig, and we did some of the old tunes, and it was great. So we're going to do some more in future.
Well, how did the band split up for starters? Then tell me that little bit.
Which H2O?
Yeah.
I think, you know, we've been together for such a long time, and we all kind of grew up together, I suppose, in the band. And eventually you get to a stage where you kind of see things your own way, and you want to do different things. And I think we kind of pulled apart, I think, really more than anything else. I think it was just a kind of inevitable thing happening. You know, people put down to musical differences, which sounds a little bit lame, but I suppose in the best possible way that's probably true. We all wanted to do different things.
So what was it like getting back together then after that sort of time?
It was like, you know, honestly, I know we're much older now than we were then, although when we look at each other we pretend we're not, but you know, honestly it felt great. We did a couple of old Bowie songs, and we did some H2O songs, and we did a couple of Clash songs, and it was just great fun. This old energy was there, and loads of people I hadn't seen in a long time turned up, and it was great fun.
Does that mean that H2O is now reformed? Are you going to be doing
well,
more?
Well, I think that's just kind of stage one. I think we could do some more things, definitely.
Do you have any more up and coming gigs? It's right, I'm just looking on the internet, and apparently you've got something on the 10th of August and the 14th of August.
Well,
I don't know whether you know about those.
Has the agent not mentioned it yet?
Well, the most important thing for me right now is, I've done the kind of the Four Good Men thing for a long time, and it's time for me to do something different. But with H2O it's interesting, but I'm also working with a classical composer, a guy called Stephen Davis, and he's from London, and we're doing an album of favourite songs, but doing a really experimental kind of Brian Eno kind of classical twist on them. And that's kind of really interesting. That's kind of taking a lot of time up at the moment. Doing our first gig in January, and an album will be out maybe February or March. So I just like to keep on doing things. I like to keep it fresh.
With the synth pop that you were doing, though, is it difficult recreating that sound on modern instruments?
You know, it's not, actually, because if you listen to The Killers and, you know, Muse and all sorts of people, I mean, those records sound quite 80s to me, the kind of the basis of them. And some of the sounds that we used in H2 are actually, you know, sounds that have been saved, and you can buy them. When you buy a new synth or a new keyboard, you've got some H2O sounds in there anyway. So I just see it being recycled again. And I think maybe one of the other reasons is because the people that bought those records in those days are now of an age where they're now producing other people's records, and some of that influence is coming through, and they're applying that to new acts. But I hear the influence all over the place. I think it's kind of come round again. But the difference, though, I mean, it's never exactly the same, but it's for a difference.
It's close enough.
I think the 80s is getting very big again now, isn't it?
Because we played Retrofest the last 2 years, and that was kind of interesting as well. Meeting up with kind of, you know, Kajagoogoo again after a long time, and Tony Hadley, and, you know, all those kind of people. It was kind of interesting to see how they were getting on as well.
I was going to say, I think last time I spoke to you, you were about to go to Retrofest.
Yes.
And you were really looking forward to meeting up to everybody again that you toured with in the 80s that perhaps you hadn't seen for a while.
It was fantastic, really was. I mean, we're all kind of sitting there and, you know, and we're all kind of just... It's nothing wrong. We live in the good times, you know, the old times. I mean, it's not an excuse for not getting on with life now, because, you know, you must do that as well. But it's nice. It's not a crime and it's not a sin. You know, it's good fun.
I think, do you say you've got two daughters?
No, I've got one daughter.
One daughter. Because yeah. I remember asking you about what they thought about you, and they just, you know, shrugged their shoulders.
Well,
and
that's, I mean, yeah, she's been a few times now to see me. And, yeah. But she still prefers Hannah Montana.
You can't compete with the Cyrus girl, there, can you? That's the important thing. But what is it like, though? I mean, you how old are you now? Dare you tell us?
Yes, I can tell you. I've reached 50 now.
Let's see that. I mean, a pop star still at 50, which isn't bad going, still doing what you love.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have been worse. You could have been, you know, from retired and just run a record shop and disappeared a little bit like that. But does that make it more interesting or just more of a challenge, do you think?
I think it's everything at the same time and none, if you like, because the pressure's off. I mean, I've been doing this since I was 14, and, you know, if I don't know how to do it now, I'm never going to know how to do it. And it's fun. Because we've done all that, we've been through that whole making records, going, you know, good times, bad times, all that kind of thing. And now doing it again, it's just like an Indian summer. I mean, that's the way I look at it. It's an Indian summer. It's just, I think we should just enjoy it for what it is. I mean, maybe it'll happen for the next few years. Maybe it'll finish tomorrow. I really don't know. I'm just amazed that people are still playing H2O records, you know, 25 years after we made them.
Mm. Well, I mean, the band got together. I've just been on Wikipedia. It must be great for your daughter to be able to look up a dad on Wikipedia as well.
I still think I'm cool enough yet. I think it's still going to be Hannah Montana. I really do.
Really? Well, it's worth a try. But, I mean, looking on Wikipedia, the band got together, what, in 78?
Played for the very first gig at a CND rally in a park in Govan where I was brought up. And it was me and Alan McGee who started the band. Alan McGee, who went on to make Creation Records and sign up Oasis.
Mm-hmm.
He and I started the band, and we wrote the first set of songs. We long term. He was a bass player at the time, Alan McGee.
Yeah.
And we were a four piece, and it can expand to a five piece and a six piece, and then we signed and just kind of went from there.
The only problem is when you get to a six piece, is which way the royalties are going to go, isn't it?
Well, it was always that. I mean, there was always a temptation to kill a golden goose. I always thought, you know, just. It's, you know, not everybody's a writer, and I think that when you're younger, everybody wants to be a writer, you know. Mm. I always remember that great story. When Bruce Springsteen got married a few years ago, he said, guys, I'm going to be really busy, so I know I normally write the songs for the band, but this is your opportunity. This is true. Little Stevie, the guitar player, told this story on television. He said, so I want two songs from everybody, and this time, instead of just being my songs, we'll pick the best 10 songs from everybody's songs, and then that's the 10 songs that go on the album. And Little Stevie said, I didn't go out for 2 months, didn't speak to anybody, took the phone off the hook, and I wrote the two best songs of my life.
Aww.
So did everyone. He said, so then we came in, we agreed to meet Bruce, and we sat down in the rehearsal room, and he sat there. He said, OK, let's hear what you've got. He said, we all played our songs, and it was sounding great. He said, Bruce, what have you been doing? And he said, well, just get married, man, and I've been on, you know, my honeymoon and all that kind of stuff. Had a bit of time, but I haven't got anything recorded, but I brought my guitar along, and I'll play you what I've got. And Little Stevie says, and then he played the 10 songs that went on the album. Because his 10 songs were still the best, you know? And it's true, I think that, you know, but I think that when you get older, you kind of start to accommodate each other. And, you know, some people can do something well, some people can do something else well. And I think you learn to accommodate each other. And yeah. It's more enjoyable, maybe second time around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're more settled, I suppose, into what you can do, yeah.
Yeah. You try to keep the old kind of, if it was any animosity from the past, you tend to kind of let that lie. Mm. You know, there's no point in dragging up anymore. We're too old for all that nonsense.
Yeah.
With the music business, you've been in the 80s and now you're coming back into, I don't know, how would you say it, recent, like, music. But have you noticed any difference in how it was when you first started to how it is now? Is it easier or harder? Or, you know, if you was a new band starting out?
I think it's always been difficult to get noticed. And
well, it took you 5 years to get to the charts, didn't it?
Well, it did. And you know, we played 600 gigs before we signed a record contract. And I don't think there are 600 gigs to do anymore nowadays. Mm. I think it's getting less and less. I mean, it's a different form. It's a different way of selling your music nowadays. You've got downloads and you've got, you know, all sorts of TV shows. In those days, it was like MTV was really new. In fact, I remember we did New Year's Eve on MTV for the first time. The first, I think it was 83, and that was across Europe, but that was much smaller than it is now. I think it always boils down to one thing: how good are your songs? The rest of it you can talk about. You can talk about having a different haircut, different sound, etc., etc. But unless you get songs, you're not going to last. You know, it's, and I think that the bands that are coming through, the strong ones, the ones that are selling records, that people go and see, pay their money, go and see, I've got good songs. And it's always going to be that way. It doesn't matter if you like the Jackson 5 or Otis Redding, U2, you know, Elvis, Frank Sinatra, Killers, whatever it is, always good songs.
Yeah. And so it's, it does seem to be that you can upload your song on the internet and the next minute you're signing a record deal at the minute, doesn't it?
Do you know, that's I think that's a wonderful world of pop, you know, Helen Boyle, you know.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, that's, I mean, people worry about what's going to happen next in pop music. They shouldn't. Pop music always takes care of itself. Even if record companies want to manufacture something and put it out there, there's always this kind of organic thing happening with music, always, and it'll always do that. It'll always kind of mutate and do something different, but that's the exciting thing about it. You can, and there's so much to choose from now. So very well criticising one thing, but if you don't like that, then stop worrying about it. You know, switch the channel, do something different, find something else that suits you. You know,
I must admit, with my music, I like a bit of everything. I do.
Yeah.
I think if you,
you just got a short attention span. I've said this before.
No, but I think if you like music, you like any sort of music.
You like good, yeah.
You appreciate. I'm,
I like most things from classical through
to the
borders of new metal and
couldn't do heavy metal perhaps, but that might be a bit too far.
Do you think that because you two are involved in the media that you're involved with, that maybe you've had to switch on to things that you might not have liked early on?
I think it's the other way around. I think I've drifted into radio because I like all sorts of music.
Well, I like getting promo copies of stuff as well, but I yeah, it's great.
Well, you're freebie, Jason.
I'm not that bad, but they do arrive by MP3 these days.
Yeah,
and it's so much easier just to delete them if you don't like them than it was using the old vinyl or the CD as a novelty coaster.
I can't think of
one thing I've been sent that I haven't liked. I must admit.
But you know, when you're sent things by MP3, you don't get the wrap out. You don't get to unwrap it anymore. And
it's not as much fun.
I mean, I've still got my albums. I don't have a turntable anymore, but I've still got all my Bowie and Roxy and T-Rex albums and everything from the past, the Clash and all that. And I've still got them, and maybe one day I'll get another record deck, but there's, you know, it's like, maybe it's youth. I don't know, maybe it's that, it's your band and it's your territory and it's quite new and you want to read every single word, even if you don't understand what they're saying half the time. And it's just, I don't know, maybe the kids still do that, I really don't know.
I must admit, I don't like... you know, downloading off iTunes and things like that. I'd much rather buy a
physical CD. Something you hold, touch, and look at the pictures.
Yeah, it's like that's what money's got, not something that's on the computer.
Yeah, you might accidentally delete again, knowing you. Yeah.
And that's how this generation deal with music and download music, and it's just completely natural, normal to them. They don't even think about vinyl, or that seems like antiquated now. So I suppose it's about where you are and what age you are and how you're exposed to music and all that kind of thing, I really suppose.
I bet it's nice for you to still be in the music business, though, because I know for you to be able to keep going for that long, doing something that you love.
I'm really fortunate. And sometimes I feel like you were guilty, because I know there's a lot of my friends from school, I mean, they've done their normal job and nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I think that, in a way, that would have been... Very occasionally, I think that would have been a better thing to do, because there's a kind of stability and there's a normality about that. Whereas I think, and living in that kind of rarefied atmosphere of music, it can be a bit absurd sometimes and a bit kind of, you know, but a bit kind of, you can be a bit self-centred, I think, if you're being honest with yourself, and a bit maybe even a bit selfish with your time. And I think there's, now that I'm older, I'm kind of balancing family life and music at the same time. I wouldn't put the family behind music anymore, whereas when I was younger, it was just about music, and maybe that's what drives you, but, you know, maybe you have to have that, I don't know. But now that I'm older, I think there's, you have to reach a balance, and you can enjoy both better as well, because you have both.
As long as the music's bringing cash in to pay for the Hannah Montana DVDs, you'll still be a popular man in the Donaldson household. We know that much. Ian, where can people find more of your music these days if they do so desire online?
They can go to Cherry Pop, or they can go on Amazon, and the H2 album's called Faith, and it's out now, so you can do that, or you can maybe just... There's some old H2O things out there, and some Four Good Men things out there as well. And if I can just kind of squeeze in... I've also written a novel.
Oh, right, cool.
I know this is nothing about music, but just to let you know.
That's cool. No, we're happy about that. What's it called?
It's called A Rainbow in the Basement.
And is that also down on Amazon as well?
Not yet, because I've only completed it, and I've sent out the first pages to a couple of agents in London.
That sounds really good. What sort of book is it?
It's I would describe it as a gritty fantasy.
Mm.
Set in the '70s in Glasgow. A boy called Matthew Ellis, his dad's in the Navy, and his mum and dad meet a very famous kind of night spot in Glasgow called the Barland. Before it became a gig, it was actually it was like a big kind of
a nightclub.
It really was a kind of nightclub in the 60s.
A proper nightclub.
Yes, like an old-fashioned nightclub with a band and everything. I don't want to give too much away, but unfortunately Matthew's dad dies and he goes to stay with his gran in Atlanta in Georgia, and while he's there he befriends a really kind of unusual person being. And it's a kind of mixture of fantasy and reality, and it goes back in time and goes back in the future. So I've got kind of high hopes for that as well. I'd like to do more of that in future as well, if I can get this one away.
Listen, it could be another career path which runs alongside the music and everything else.
Yeah, as long as I get to express myself, you know.
Yeah.
But what about you two? Tell me more about you. I mean, I don't really know a great deal about you two. So what you've two been doing for a lot since 1983?
Well, see, in 1983,
I
started senior school in 83, so...
your nose growing.
I'm only a tender age of 37 these days, so, you know... I mean, for me, it's. I mean, I enjoy listening to my music and being involved in that sort of things. And I like being in a position where I can promote local bands and things. So it's good to be able to hear music. It's probably something I've been doing for the last 20. Plugging bands for the last 10, 15 years, and getting to play CDs and actually get live performances in front of 20,000 people for local bands who don't normally get played to that sort of number of people.
Fantastic.
And I mean, one of the last week here in the Millbar, we had Seventh Syndicate in. Played a tune by them at a football club down here in the Midlands, and there were people emailing and asking more about a local band which they didn't know anything about, and until they were played to that sort of number of people. So it's really good to know that there is new music out there that is good, that isn't your manufactured pop, and people want to listen to it.
And the thing is, you made the connection with them and made the connection with an audience for them. That's great to be involved with that.
Mm-hmm. It's all good fun, and it's great to be working on this side of things. And as you say, we get to listen to all the new stuff before it comes out.
Yes, I do enjoy that. And like Jason, I enjoy having like the new bands in and bands that aren't signed, because there is just that much talent around, and don't get.
It's hard to get heard sometimes. Yeah. What's your favourites at the moment, both of you? What you've been listening to, you think, even local things, what's new that's good that you think's going to have a chance?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. I've been loving Sneaky Sound System, who Australian band. They were actually up not too far away from you. They played the Rocknest Festival, and then they were down at the Isle of Wight the following day, and they've been running around the country. That's a really nice electro synth pop sort of but slightly raunchy sound with a bit of disco thrown in for good measure. If you haven't heard them, check them out. They're really good.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm not listening to indie rock, and down here there's a few good bands. One of my favourites is Split Up. They were called the Rubicons, and they've recently gone separate ways.
Yeah, they were very good.
And you know,
the Lions.
Yeah, again, another set of local guys. They've signed to a Manchester record company, and
I remember you helping the Lions out a few years ago before anybody really knew about them, and now, like you say, they've done like bigger concerts and they're signed now. So,
and I've got a signed copy of their single.
Yeah,
so that's
might be down to you.
We make a difference, and with playing them where I've played them, I've been heard by a few people, and it's good for them to have their mates send them text messages going, I've just heard your song.
Yeah, it's exciting. I remember this happening in the early days. Not that there was text messages in those days. It was
postcards, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Send a pigeon. And what about you, Zoe?
Well, I'm trying to still break through into mainstream radio, I'm afraid.
She wants to be a star.
Yes.
And why not?
Well, I enjoy music.
Mostly because of a terrible accent, probably.
But it's not. I just enjoy talking to people. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the music and...
You should get yourself a job in a call centre, that's what I say.
Oh, I have.
You've got one of them.
That's
a day job, but there we are. So, no, it's all good. And,
sounds good.
Long may your success continue.
Well, thank you. I mean, I have no idea how long it will last, but I'm still enjoying it. And that's what else can you do? It's from day to day, isn't it? It's fab.
It is, and it's a great way to spend your time, and hopefully it gives you time to write the book as well, next one, and there'll be a series of novels, I can tell.
I hope so. I really hope so. I would like to do that.
Well, email it down to one of us. We won't let anybody else see,
yes,
but I'd love to
be
able to read it before it's published. That would be really good.
Listen, hopefully I can get that to that stage, and I won't forget. I will send you something down before hopefully... it comes out. Yeah, I'll do that.
Brilliant.
I think you're on MySpace, aren't you? Because I think you're one of my friends.
Oh, yeah. Few friends on MySpace. Excellent. Ian Donaldson, H2O, thank you so much for joining us on the phone.
You're welcome, Jason.
Thank you ever
Cheers,
so
mate.
Much.
And usually, thanks.
Thank
I loved it.
Cheers. Ciao for now.
Take care, boys.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
Right, so there we go. A top bloke, really nice fella.
He's a lovely, lovely chap, he is.
And he said we will be re-listening to the H2O back catalogue, I think. There,
yes.
Chucking it into Amazon and seeing how we get on from there. Right, we've got to do your website in a minute or two. But
okay.
Before then, we've got more music from Mick Burrows. He is still here with us. He's got his guitar. Is it a different guitar this time?
Yep, it is.
They look the same to me.
They do look the same.
What's the difference between the two guitars you've got?
Well, they're both made by the same company, Martin, in America. And, you know, they're, well, reputed to be one of the finest acoustic guitars made, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they are certainly, you know, have their own signature sound, and they're a lovely guitar, and they're nice to play and have a great
that
sound.
That one's
really
a bit bigger.
Yeah, this is called a Dreadnought.
Is that why? Because you get different sounds from it. Is that why?
Yeah, it's deeper, kind of deeper sound on the bass and stuff, you know.
Mm.
But this is called a D28. This one, very nice guitar. The Beatles had them, John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney still got his.
I bet they're expensive.
I bet they're probably not cheap. But musical instruments aren't, are they, really?
No, not generally, no.
What have you got for us now, then?
It's called The Ranger's House.
Take it away.
Standing in the sun, gazing on the ranger's house, thinking of you in a tree-lined avenue. History and me will live within these walls. Who knows me so low. history and me who live within these walls. Who knows where I will fall? Who knows where I will fall? Who knows where I will fall? Standing in the rain, sheltered by the trees, all this pain had brought me to my knees. History and me will live within these walls.
Round of applause from us.
Thank you very much.
Mick Boran, excellent. Thank you for joining us in the Milk Bar today.
That's my pleasure.
It's been a treat. We'll plug your web address now again, and we'll give a mention after we've done the website, because it's basically soundclick.com/Mick Burrows if you want to hear more of your studio recordings.
That's correct, yes.
So, order the CDs, no doubt.
Yes,
can you can order them online as well?
Yeah, there's contact numbers. I mean, if anyone wants to contact me, that's fine. Mm. And you can order them through soundclick.com.
By lots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we will mention your events again in a moment. But before then, and before we clear off, Zoe, tell me what your website of the week is, because there's something very dodgy on that screen.
No, it's not. It's an ear.
It's an ear, right.
I just came across this and I just couldn't believe that people run things like this.
What is it?
It is a dating agency, but it's for particularly for married people.
Or with each other, or yeah. You can make a date with your own wife online.
No. It's got to be somebody else's wife.
That's shocking.
Yes, it says, fed up of being monogamous, are you looking for a lustless relationship?
Does your other half know you've got to log into this?
No, I haven't joined.
Yeah, right.
But it is free registration.
Yeah.
Free find a date.
What is it?
25 pence a day for membership, look. Do you fancy a go?
This just sounds wrong. No, it's wrong.
It's awful, isn't it? Oh, what's it say, sorry? Whether you're looking for an extramarital affair, adult dating, or broaden your sexual experiences, or just want to flirt.
Zoe, thank you so much for lowering the tone.
Would you like to have the website address for that?
I don't want it, but you can share it with the world.
It is www.affairsanddating.co.uk.
Mick, there's something you could write a song about in there, isn't there?
Maybe. Yeah.
You never know.
Can you believe that people would join something like that, though?
I think there's a few naughty people
there. Well, yes.
And I'm guessing you might well be one of them, basically.
No, I wouldn't join that.
No.
I just go uptown on a Friday.
Yeah, you flirt uptown. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past you either. No. Well, Zoe, thank you for your website of the week. Next week, I know I was talking last week about the competition we're looking at running.
Oh, yes, have we got one?
We are launching. We should be speaking to Helen from Fitness First in Canic next week.
Oh, yes,
week.
It was free. We
hope to be in a position to give away a week's pass. We're in negotiations still, but we're looking at a week's pass, and also Ben has said he'll chuck in a half-hour training session
That is well worth the entering, that one is. If nobody else enters, I'll enter for that.
You want to go with that one, do you?
Worth it for the half an hour training session with Ben.
You quite liked Ben, didn't you?
He was quite nice.
Just calm down.
No, he's getting married or something.
Looking at this website, that sort of thing doesn't bother you.
Oh, well, yes, of course. I wonder if he's on there.
No, he probably isn't. I'm sure he's a good boy. But there we go. So we're looking at that one next week. And also more music here in the Milk Bar. And another celebrity guest.
I shall try.
You were exhausting your little black book.
No, you see, I had a few that couldn't do it today, so I'm going to retry them again for next week.
You never know who will be on the end of that telephone. Could be worse. We could ring you as a wrong number, but there we go. We haven't had a wrong number yet, have we?
I don't think we have.
That's bound to happen the way you dial, but there we go.
No.
So, thanks to the Malcolm and also to Barbara Newman of redbusart.com for joining us on the phone a little bit earlier on. Of course, to Ian Donaldson from H2O. And also, Mick, thank you for joining us. Give us a plug your geese again, the 3 weekday ones. And your Robin one, come on, remember.
Right. 3 weekday ones are Monday at the Painter's Arms in Avenue Road, Coesley.
Yes.
That's the Painter's Arms Folk Club.
Yep.
Wednesday at the Coesley. Are they called working men's clubs now?
I think they're
still called that, even though no one works anymore. Don't they? But there we go.
Which is also in Coesley, obviously.
Yep.
By the Mac, it's behind the McDonald's on the Birmingham New Road.
See, Zoe will know where that is then.
Oh right. Yeah, on the Birmingham New Road.
Well, any McDonald's will do for you.
Yeah, and that's Wednesday nights. And then there's the Crystal Folk Club, which is in the Blackheath Liberal Club in John Street. I just remembered it. John Street in Blackheath. Rowley Regis, mm-hmm. that way. So those are those. And the gig that I'm really looking forward to is the 30th of September. That's a Wednesday night, 30th of September at the Robin 2 in Bilston, supporting Grewcutt and Haynes.
So if you want to book tickets for that one, search the Robin 2 in Bilston. You can buy tickets online for that. And of course, as we mentioned, Mick's website is on soundclick.com/Mick Burrows. BURROWS. Right. Spelling on that one. I like that. Excellent.
They can email us if they haven't got any of the details or want to know more about anything they've heard.
Yeah, they can rewind podcasts.
I know, but they might want more details that we haven't mentioned.
They could do. They could want your details for flirting with you uptown. In that jumper, it's never going to happen.
It's quite bright, though.
You can see your miles off.
Yes.
And clashes with your trousers. Get in touch with us by email.
How dare you?
Yeah, very dare you.
I was going to say
yes, you were. I can tell you the look on your face. The email address, even if I can, put me off. themilkbarpodcast@googlemail.com.
It would be nice to have a few, wouldn't it?
Because you do like people getting in touch with you.
Yes, we like to know what you want to hear.
Yes, because so we... It's always there to share.
You was mentioning downloads earlier as well. Where have we had some downloads from?
Oh, all over the place. The States, Japan was a good one, as we said. All over the UK and loads of unknown places too.
Okay. So where any regulars?
Yeah, well, I can't. They're all IP addresses to me. I'm not that much of a freak. I don't memorise those.
I didn't know whether it told you who'd subscribed, because obviously when they're subscribed, then they get it every week then, don't they?
Very anonymous. Well, there we go.
Okay.
But keep subscribing, clicking subscribe on iTunes, and or you can, of course, you may offend us through the milkbar.podbean.com, and you can add us as on there and subscribe on there as well.
Yes, we are very interesting. Well, we're listening.
And that's just Zoe's woolen wear. But there we go. Back next week for more of the same from us here in the Milk Bar. Ta-ra for now.
Join Jason and Zoe in the Milk Bar, yeah. Join Jason and Zoe in the Milk Bar.